This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Yeah, sure thing.
Hey, you sold that car yet?
Yeah, sold it to Carvana.
Oh, I thought you were selling to that guy.
The guy who wanted to pay me in foreign currency, no interest over 36 months? Yeah, no. Carvana gave me an offer in minutes, picked it up, and paid me on the spot. It was so convenient.
Just like that.
Yeah.
No hassle.
None.
That is super convenient.
Sell your car to Carvana and swap hassle for convenience. Pickup fees may apply.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Good morning, Who Dat Nation. Week 15 action starting here. We are inside the Superdome for First Take, brought to you by Caesars Sportsbook, an official sports betting partner of the Saints. Steve, Jeff, Luke, Ashley, we are all hanging out this morning, getting ready for a Saints Commanders noon kickoff here on WWL. Saints Radio, and of course, the Odyssey app. Jeff, good morning, sir. How you doing today, man?
Oh, I'm doing. You know, as I walked into the building this morning, I was like, man, there's only two of these left. Gotta enjoy these, you know. And then I was like, thought to myself, wait, is it only two? And then I had to think, like, yeah, okay.
Just two home games for sure.
Yeah, next week's gonna feel like 6 weeks, but it's two games at home to see what happens. You know, maybe they win the division, maybe they get a home playoff. I don't know. I'm not saying. I'm just saying.
Too much eggnog already.
Yeah, that's not. I shouldn't go down that road. But it's gonna be fun. I think, you know, this is an interesting game because I think if you went around, you know, I called my dad. My dad has no idea what's going on with the Saints, and he's like, "Oh, who are the Saints playing?" He's like, "I was like the Commanders." And he was like, "Oh, the Commanders are really good. The Saints are gonna get trucked." And I was like, "Are they? They're 8-5. Are they just a really, really good 8-5 team, or have they lost five games?" By accident.
Right. We shall discuss.
It's just an odd thing. Like, for whatever reason, the 8-5 Commanders, who have lost three of their last four games, struggled to beat the Giants twice, just like the Saints did last week. If you go back to week two, the Commanders became, like, the only team in NFL history to win a game where they allowed three touchdowns by the other team and did not score one on their own. Austin Seibert kicked, like, six field goals and they won, right? Like, those are the type of games they won, and that's part of their eight. So why is it that this Commanders team is viewed as like this juggernaut at 8-5?
Because they have their quarterback for the future.
Because of Jaden Daniels.
Yes.
Because of the confidence level people have in Jaden Daniels. And I get it. I think the Commanders feel that way. I think the team, for the first time in forever, feels like, man, we have a future here. You got the head coach. You got the quarterback. And because the Saints aren't viewed that way, it's like, oh, they're going to get rolled over. What's the line? 7.5?
Right.
At home?
Well, it's because obviously too the Commanders' offense has been, what is it, top four in the league in points scored.
Yeah, and they're gonna move the ball, they're gonna run the ball,
right?
You know, and I think that's, you know, kind of their strengths match up with the Saints' weaknesses. The Saints haven't been able to handle mobile quarterbacks. They haven't been able to stop the run. That's what the Commanders are gonna do. They're gonna try to lean on you with Brian Robinson, and you know it's just funny because I feel like this game should be viewed a lot closer than it is, and I think it's gonna be a close game. I really don't think this is gonna be a blowout. I think the Saints are gonna have a hard time. When it comes down to it, stopping the Commanders from moving the ball and scoring, I think it's going to go somewhat like the Rams game. And in the second half, I think that offense is going to start to take over a little bit. But this is not going to be a blowout. This is not going to be a walkover. It's just funny. Like, you're looking at an 8-5 team that's right on the fringe of playoffs. Like, this is a Commanders team that could still miss the playoffs.
Right.
But they've been anointed. And, you know, we're going to see what happens.
When you see, obviously, first-year head coach, first-year quarterback, still have their playoff hopes and dreams intact, it seems like a hopeless task ahead for a Saints squad. No Derek Carr today, and that have been just, you know, struggling, like you mentioned, against the run and a running quarterback, which this team, this Washington squad, seems to do well.
Derek Carr's not playing? That changes everything.
Oh, my goodness. but we did see this offense struggle without him, obviously, with Spencer Rattler getting the go this week. It is Jay Kaner's turn finally, which is good for him, getting a shot to start under quarterback today. And we'll get to see last year's fourth-round pick, what he has in store. I know he's been patiently waiting. We'll have plenty of sound cuts from him to get into. And I thought it was really funny. He was even asked about that dreaded photo shoot he had with the NFLPA. And he's like, man, I can't stand that.
It's so much funnier now that I know he hates it.
Right.
You know, he had a few choices when he was asked about that. And he could have leaned into it. He could have like, you know, steered into the skid instead. He was like, I hate it. So now it's something that if he comes out and plays well today, kind of use it as a talisman of like, you know, if they lose, then it's going to be more of that. If you Google Jake Haner's name, the first image that pops up is like some weird edited photo with wings and like a TikTok filter on it. It's funny. He was like, it's completely different from like my personality.
Yeah, the photo photographer basically said to him, go have some fun.
Have some fun with
like
it. Every high school photo shoot ever. And he probably took that a little too seriously. But, no, I mean, I'm excited for Jake. For whatever reason, there's not the level of excitement around this start as there was for Spencer's starts.
Yeah.
He got three of them. Jake finished two of those games. I thought Jake played well. Like, there's a reason you're going to Jake in these games, and it's in part because when he got in against the Chargers, he moved the ball. He got the ball out of his hand. He operated quickly. He processed quickly in a week that he didn't have any prep work whatsoever. He went in there and he executed. And I think that's what you want to see today. I think you want to see a guy go out there and get the ball out of his hand. Right? We're going to talk more about this. The Saints allowed 16 sacks in the three starts that Spencer Rattler had. Two of those were on Jake in the Chargers game. Derek Carr's 10 starts, how many starts he has, he's been sacked 8 times total.
Right.
So, I mean, that can't happen. You can't win games that way. So I think that's a big part of this is, okay, can you process quickly? Can you move the ball? And I think that's going to be the story today. Like, if the Saints can run the ball, they can sustain offense, they can win the time of possession, they can keep Washington's offense off the field, then I think you give yourself a chance. If you can't do that, you're not going to win games. It's going to look a lot like weeks, 6 through 8, where it just didn't feel like anything. You didn't feel like you had a shred of hope in the second half of any of those games. So we'll see how it goes.
Looking at our LCMC health update, LCMC Health, 8 hospitals, 1 promise of keeping you well. Derek Carr was doubtful to start this on Friday's initial injury report. He has been downgraded to out for this matchup. Also not playing today will be DeMarco Jackson, the linebacker, and also wide receiver Bub Means, who's still recovering from an ankle issue. Questionable in this game, Tano Passanio. He has been coming back from that Achilles issue, so be curious to see if he finally gets some game action today. And the team has activated Passanio from the reserve physically unable to perform list, and they've also placed DeMarco Jackson on injured reserve, so obviously he is out.
Yeah, that for Tano, it had to happen this week. So, you know, I don't know if he's even going to be up for the game. That's going to be the question. He's healthy. He can play.
Yeah.
He's been ready to go for several weeks now, and it's just been, hey, do we have a roster spot for him? DeMarco got hurt, and so that kind of opened up. But you're probably going to activate him either way because he is at the end of that 21-day return to practice window where either you get activated to the roster or you're done for the year. So he's back in there, and it's good. We're just going to have to wait and see how he's utilized. You know, there's not going to be a ton of snaps to go around. Like, you have a pretty loaded and healthy, the important word, defensive end room, right? Like, he's, you know, if you lump Isaiah Foskey in there, you're talking about 6 defensive ends. So I don't know. Like, it's going to be a tough nut to crack. You might get some third down work. What Tano did really well last year that I don't think the Saints have done enough of is, you know, shift an outside rusher inside and let him run some pass rush games with Brian Brzee. Tano and Brian Brzee had a really good kind of chemistry in those inside stunts last year. And, you know, we saw, if you go back to that Tampa game, that was a big part of it, is that you got a lot of pressure in the interior on Baker Mayfield in week 17 of last year. And Tano was a big part of that. So I'm interested to see. You know, he's a guy who's worked really hard to get back. He tore his Achilles during an off-season workout at the facility.
Right, we didn't even see him at all.
No, he just didn't show up for the first day of OTAs, and we were like, hey, where's Tano? And I get towards Achilles. But even at that point, they were like, he's not done for the year. He's going to work his way back. And,
yeah.
Because that's a tough recovery. Like, you could easily just pack it in and say, okay, I'll see you next year. And he was at the facility every day. Even out in Irvine, you know, it was kind of a joke. Like, we'd always see him walking around in, like, a weighted vest, like, doing whatever he could at that stage of his rehab to be around the team, to be involved. And it's cool when you see a guy do all that work and get back.
All right, everybody, it's here. The March to Spring Training and Opening Day is officially upon us. Hey, I'm Rob Bradford from Baseball Isn't Boring, and we'll have you covered every single day with instant reactions to late-breaking signings, determining which players are, yes, truly in the best shape of their lives, and behind-the-scenes stories from all the excitement and intrigue that spring training brings. Follow Baseball Isn't Boring in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Looking at this black and gold bunch, there's a lot of questions going into this matchup of, obviously, who are going to be Jake Haner's weapons. Thankfully, Alvin Kamara, the main one, I know, yep, was dealing with an illness throughout the week, but was able to be a full go on Friday. Big sigh of relief from Hudats and I think the Saints squad as well. When, you know, you assume, obviously, with an illness that someone will be ready to play Sunday, but not seeing him the first two games of action. I know the second day, Coach Rizzi said, was kind of more of a precautionary to keep him at home.
It is always funny to me when, like, we get the injury report and it comes out as an illness and everyone's
this
huge sigh of relief. Oh, fine, it's nothing. And meanwhile, this guy's, like, fighting for his life over the
toilet.
He's
all medded up and in bed, like, sniffling.
yeah, because have you ever been sick on a Wednesday? How'd you feel over the weekend? Were you great? But, no, Alvin's going to be fine. He's going to be active. Like you said, Darren, you know, initially Darren said he expected him out at practice on Thursday. On Friday, he told us that he kind of made the call to keep him out because he was sick and they just wanted to play it safe. Like, he was pretty sick, according to what Darren was saying. So, no, he'll be out there, and that's good for Jake. You know, one of the things that happened in those Spencer Rattler starts is you were down several offensive linemen. You were down several key playmakers on offense. This week, you have more of a fighting chance, right? You have your offensive line in there. It's going to be the second week in a row that you have all five starters. I didn't think they played particularly well last week in the run game.
Definitely not.
You know, it wasn't their strongest game. I'd like to think there was a little bit of rust involved. You kind of got whipped off the line last week. Like, they had, what, 10 negative plays, 10 tackles for loss against the offense. That's too many. You know, if you include the sacks, you're talking about like 20% of the Saints' offensive plays last week went backwards. It doesn't even include the zero-yard plays. It doesn't even include the tackles for no gain. That's just the reverse plays. And that's just something you can't have. You know, when you have Derek Carr and you have a quarterback that you feel like is going to navigate that situation, and he did, I wouldn't say he did particularly well, but he survived it. You know, you didn't move the ball. You had two long drives for touchdowns. You can't do that with a young quarterback. You got to stay ahead of the chain. So that offensive line really needs to step forward today and win the line of scrimmage.
You know, you mentioned, obviously, with Derek Carr there, do you think there was ever really that opportunity he was going to be ready for this game, or even as the backup or emergency guy, or was kind of Rizzi playing games with everybody?
No, I mean, I think the thing with Derek is he's always going to push to play, so you have to kind of balance that with, I think, Mickey Loomis, when he was on WWL earlier in the week, he phrased it as, it's not about whether he can play, it's whether he should play.
Right.
And, you know, I think with the concussion protocol, really complicated, because, hey, your hand is going to be what it is. It's not. It's fractured. It's not going to get that much better over the course of the next month. So whatever it is this week is kind of going to be what it is. So if you can play with it this week, you can play with it. And I think the concussion protocol is really what complicated that, because he was never able to get out onto the field for practice and really test it out. And I think if he was on Friday, maybe you would have considered it. And because Derek is Derek, he's going to push to play. But I think it was always, hey, we got to pick between Spencer Rattler, Jake Haner. I think the lean was always Jake Haner, and you just wanted to see how he operated in practice before you put it out there. Sounds like the decision was made on Thursday after Thursday's practice, and he got the full reps on Friday. But, you know, I know Jake's excited because this is an opportunity that he feels he has earned. And, you know, when you get bypassed, like he got bypassed.
Exactly. Gives you a little extra nugget of motivation.
Yeah, you can be the good teammate, the good soldier. You're frustrated. You're annoyed. You know, there's no way around it. I'd be more concerned if you weren't. If you weren't annoyed, if you didn't do all that work.
Okay, Spencer's getting the start.
If you weren't mad about that, then I don't think you have what it takes to be an NFL quarterback in the first place. So, like, there's nothing wrong with a little frustration. But it sounds like, you know, he put his head down, he got back to work, and he's now ready for the opportunity here. So, We'll see what happens. But again, like, I think people should be excited about this start just like they were excited about week six, right? Like, I think this is an opportunity for a young guy to go out there and show what he has. And does he have the elite arm talent of Spencer? Probably not, but that's not the entire story in the NFL. Like, I always say, like, when you in college, arm talent is like 60% of the equation. In the NFL, arm talent is like 30% of the equation. Like, it gets less and less important because all these guys can make the throws. It's about what you see, whether you can diagnose the defense, whether you can find the guy to get the ball to, and then the arm talent comes into play. But if you can't do all of those things before that, the arm talent doesn't matter, right? Otherwise, it's just a beauty contest. Like, oh, did you see that throw? What a beautiful throw. It landed 3 yards out of bounds.
Right, it's out of bounds, right.
So, yeah, no, I know Jake's really fired up to kind of let it sling today.
For Haener, too, pretty impressive. The adversity he's had to put up with this year, we talked about just now, obviously, the, you know, getting passed over by Spencer Rattler to get the start earlier this season. But even during training camp, was dealing with a rare form of skin cancer, which was obviously scary for a young guy, anybody, really. And thankfully, it was nothing too serious where it was, you know, hampering him from coming back.
I mean, you look at his whole career, and it's like, man, this guy's never had a straight line to anything, right? You get drafted in the fourth round. They trade up for you. You're really excited. You come in here. You learn an offense.
Keep doubting me.
Yeah, well, and then what happens first game of the year? You get suspended 6 games, right? And so, you know, that's a pretty hefty chunk of your rookie salary out the window over what was most likely a mistake. A lot of times you take a supplement, you don't know what's in it, and then you get dinged, and suddenly you're suspended 6 games. And did it affect the season? No. Did it affect his season? Absolutely. Right? Then offseason comes and everyone gets fired on offense. You rebuild the entire offense. What does that mean for me, Jake Haener, the quarterback? I'm kind of sitting here in limbo, you know? So then they're like, all right, they draft another quarterback. Great. Now I got to fight for my job again. Go out there, compete. Now, halfway through training camp, suddenly there's this report that I have skin cancer. I got to go deal with that. Still competing, still getting out there. The doctors tried to get him to miss one of the preseason games. Instead, he kind of looked at
him. Yeah, he was like, not a chance.
Yeah, like, no, I am not missing a game. Put more stitches in, and we'll see what happens. He goes out there and plays. And, you know, it's kind of just been the story of his career. And, obviously, you fast forward to week six, and he gets benched. Or not benched, but, you know, he gets passed over for the rookie who came in and he competed with all season and then was named the backup. But he's not the fill-in guy. So, no, it's been a really interesting road for him. So, I think the way he phrases, like, what do I have to lose? You know, just go out there. I'm not going to go out there and play scared. I'm going to go out there and show what I can do.